How's it going here? Good to be working this week. Guess you'd be working anyway. Well, feels good for us to be working. So, real quick on the Eagles. Obviously, really good football team. Ton of respect for what they do, how they do it. Coach Peterson on offense, Coach Schwartz. I mean, they really have played well all year. Have dealt with some things that really haven't gone their way, injury-wise, and had to make some adjustments. They've done a great job of that. They have a lot of explosive players. They can score on defense. They score a lot on offense. They're good in the kicking game, so they're really pretty good at everything, which is what you'd expect. That's why they're in this game. So we got a lot of work to do. Obviously, this is a team we all know very well at all. So we'll get the players in today and start grinding. But glad we have a little bit of extra time on this game. I think we'll need it. They do a lot of things well and create a lot of problems. Created them for everybody. So that's kind of where we're at.
Bill, how far along to your left here? How far along? You said you're unfamiliar, or you guys are still kind of getting familiar with the Eagles. How much does having some familiarity with Jim Schwartz, just playing against him, obviously know him, help in those preparations?
That's part of the start, but again, you look at a team overall, and then you start breaking them down, and then you get into the situational things that would come up. It's just you take it step by step. Sometimes that doesn't fall into place until everything doesn't fall into place until a little bit later after you are able to grind through the whole thing. Certainly, it makes a little more sense each day, each time you cross a bridge. But there are a lot to cross, and sometimes it takes a while to figure it all out. Same thing offensively; they have a ton of skill players. They run the ball. They throw it deep, play action. They have a lot of misdirection plays. It's a great West Coast offense. Which we know the elements of that, but again, this is very unique with their players, and so kind of where they were with Sproles, and have obviously moved off of that. And so, things like that, the quarterback situation, but whatever it is, they've continued to be very productive and very disruptive on defense, and so it's just a process. We're going through it. We're not there yet by any means.
Bill, in the Super Bowls in the past, you guys haven't scored in the first quarter.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
Sorry to remind you.
Yeah.
But how?
And all the negative stuff from the Super Bowls we need to be aware of too.
How much do you look at that history and this week and say, do something?
Look, we try to score in every game. I know that's probably hard to understand, but we try to go out and score and keep the other team from scoring. That's our goal every game.
Would you put in any extra time or change anything just to highlight that to the team and the importance of that this week?
I mean, what's important is what happens this week against the Eagles. So we're going to try to score. We're going to try to keep them from scoring.
Bill, what have you seen from two of your former players in Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount this season?
Yeah, they've done a good job for them. Both guys have been productive, having good years. Along with a lot of other guys on the team. Solid.
What about LeGarrette in relation to the other running backs in that group that they have?
Well, all those guys are productive. They use them. They're all different, and they're all very productive. They use them in different ways. Coach Peterson does a great job with the running backs, the tight ends, the receivers, just the overall offensive scheme of utilizing the skills and the players that he puts in there, but at the same time not making it. He does what they do well, but not in such a way that there's an overriding tendency where kind of the defense knows exactly what it is. He does a great job of balancing those things off and making it hard to he gets a lot out of the players without you kind of knowing exactly what it is until usually it's too late. So, but they have a lot of, they use a lot of players on offense, and they're all productive, the backs, the tight ends, and the receivers.
Bill, just wondering about the Eagles front four and what makes them such a unique group. And is it the depth of that group that...
Yeah, it's a lot more than four. I wish it was just four. Yeah, it's about eight, nine. Yeah, again, it's a very disruptive group. Hard to run against, hard to throw against. Again, they're well coached, very instinctive. You know, screens and plays like that that you think will be will take the edge off the pass rush. Don't look as good as you think that when you run them, they don't look as good as what you think they're going to look like. Draw screens, things like that. Play action. A lot of times they still, you know, they blow those plays up too. So they do a good job. They got a lot of good players. They have good inside rushers. They have good outside rushers. I mean, Cox is, you know, as good as anybody in the league at his position. He's a very disruptive player. Great, hard to block, run, pass, no matter what it is. They have good edge rush, and they come hard every play. These guys really play hard. There's no plays off, so you're going to have to block them on every play. And you can't get away from them. There's nowhere to go. So you're going to have to deal with that front down after down, and they wear you down. It's a great group, and that's, you know, a huge strength for their defense.
Bill, you've touched on the number of players involved in their offense in different ways, multiple tight ends who catch the ball, multiple receivers, I think, with more than a half dozen touchdown catches this year, backs who do different things. Does this team force you to defend basically every sector of the field? And when you have an offense like that, how difficult is it to prioritize the things that you need to take away in defense?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they do. Yeah, you got to defend every blade of grass. There's no place that they can't get to. They get to everywhere. They get to it with a lot of different ways. And that's a big challenge for the defense. And they'll run the ball in the A-gap, and they'll end up on the sideline, all the places in between. They do a good job of creating conflicts for the defense, and that's difficult too. You know, when a guy gets a key and it's two different plays look like the same play, and if he's right on one, he's wrong on the other, and a lot of those plays are read by the quarterback. So it's actually both plays are in play, and then the quarterback makes a decision on what to do as he reads the defense. So you can't be right defensively is the philosophy there. So there's a lot of that. Yeah, they do a real good job of attacking every inch of the field.
Bill, there's been a lot of talk about Danny Amendola the last couple of weeks, especially with his strong performances in the playoffs. I was curious what you remember, if anything, from when he was coming into the league, 2008 out of Texas Tech, undrafted, and sort of took him a couple years to find his place. And does anything stand out to you from when you guys were tracking him? Because I know you track every player, as to what you remember about him at that time.
Yeah, well, we missed on two guys there. So really what the light went on with Josh. Josh was here. Josh, you know, had him in St. Louis, and you saw a good player in St. Louis, but you didn't see all the things behind the scenes that you kind of can see when you actually have the player in your team. Josh saw that, and he made us aware of what all the things that Danny does and how well he does and what his skills were and so forth. So that's kind of when it started. And then, of course, once we got him here, then all that became evident to everybody who works with him.
Can you give us an update on Rob Gronkowski? Has he finished his concussion protocol? Do you expect him to play?
Yeah, we'll be compliant with the NFL injury report, and when that's required, we'll put it on.
When is that process completed, finished?
When's what process finished?
The concussion report, the...
Whatever his situation is, whatever his status is, we'll put it on the injury report. We'll make sure the first one to get it.
I'm sure you will. Do you expect him to play?
Not a problem.
Do you expect him to play?
We'll put it right on the injury report, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Just like everybody else does. I'll make sure you're first on the list, too, Stacey.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I don't want to hold anything back here. Get that out there right away.
I know you don't.
That's all we can do.
Bill, sort of like the Danny Amendola question, you have a guy on your team, Deion Lewis, who's been very productive, and he's got some Philadelphia roots as well. What did you see early in his career, and has it been a matter of opportunity, development, health for him to be so productive for you since the fifth or sixth game of the season?
Yeah, so similar situation to Danny. Deion, very productive at Pitt. We all saw that. Went to Cleveland, got off to a fast start, got injured, missed most of the whichever year that was. And again, it was Mike Lombardi. Mike was here. Mike was with him. He saw him. And same thing that I just talked about with Danny, with Josh. Mike saw that at Cleveland. We signed him as a future player. And that's, again, when you see somebody on the practice field on a daily basis and you're around them, you know a lot more about them than especially a player like Deion, who you didn't get to see on the field a lot. What you saw was good, but it just wasn't very much. When somebody's on the inside like that, then you know a lot more about the player than what you do just seeing him on however many snaps he gets on Sunday afternoon, which in Deion's case wasn't very many. They were good, but they were just minimal.
Coach, Carson Wentz over here to your right. Carson Wentz obviously isn't playing, but he played a lot of games for them this year. Foles is the guy. Do you emphasize the Foles tape? Do you go back and watch all the tape to study the offense? How does that breakdown work?
Yeah, well, both. The offense is the offense. So the components, I think certainly in Philadelphia's case, they didn't change the offense when they changed quarterbacks, which you wouldn't expect them to. But Foles is Foles and Wentz is Wentz. So you want to make sure that you are ready for the guy that's going to play. But certainly there are a lot of things that they did offensively that are scheme related, and the other players haven't necessarily changed. So looking at other players besides the quarterback, they're productive in every game. They move the ball and score points in every game. So there are great opportunities to study the team in those games too. So it's both.
Bill, you obviously had seen a lot of James Harrison over the years when he was in Pittsburgh and even before that. What have you seen since he got here? What has he been able to give you in the few weeks you've had him?
James has been great. Really professional, works hard. There are a lot of things that we do that are different than what he's done in the past, but he's adjusted very quickly. I give him a lot of credit for that and has tried to learn and do everything that we've asked him to do to the very best of his ability. And you can't ask for any more than that. When you're in a system for as long as he's been, there are a lot of things that are habits get ingrained, which they should be. Some of those things carry over, some of them kind of don't, and he's done a great job of trying to separate them and do what we've asked him to do, and he's given us a really solid level of play. But every play, he's into it, whether he's in the game, on practice, on the field, or on the sideline, getting the call, mentally processing the play, meetings, film, walkthroughs, all those things. I mean, this guy's a professional. He's into football. He's into his job and wants to do it well. So, I 100% totally respect that. I mean, that's what you want from everybody.
Bill, just a follow-up to Mike's question about Danny Amendola. Over the years, how much have you tried, because Josh had Danny in St. Louis, to find, through other people that you know in the game and everything else about some of the guys that you bring in here, about their some maybe the stuff you don't see, how hard they work behind the scenes and understand the game and things like that. How much have you tried to do that as, you've been in here longer and longer?
Well, you try to find out whatever information you can. Sometimes that's sources in college. Sometimes it works out to be other sources in the NFL. When I've changed teams in the past, you take the information and the knowledge of the players that you have with you. I haven't been anywhere but here for a long time, so I don't really know what anybody does anywhere else. We have a few coaches on our staff, like Mike, like Josh, those two examples, where they had been with other teams and seen other players, and so maybe somebody coming on to your staff can do that. Scott, when he came from Denver, or Joe, when he came from Alabama and the SEC. So, you get that occasionally, but by and large, most of us have been here, like Matt, Ryan Flores, Dante. We haven't seen any other team, only ones we practice against. So that knowledge base is limited. If you get it from somewhere else, you get it. If you don't, then go with what you have and do the best you can.
Coach, most of us in this room know you pretty well. I was looking at your schedule for next week. Would you say that the chance to win a Super Bowl is the only thing on this earth that could get you in front of the media and in a mall at the same time?
That's probably a pretty good analysis. Yeah.
Bill, what does it say about a staff that can absorb so many injuries, the staff and I guess the composition of the roster that can absorb so many injuries and not just maintain but gain momentum as the season goes on? What does that say about the Eagles staff and maybe the way that that roster was compiled?
Yeah, they've done a great job. They've, as I said, they've dealt with a number of situations on both sides of the ball, or I mean, even a player like Darby, who's back but missed, I don't know, half the year, whatever it was. So they've had things like that they've had to make adjustments to. I mean, look, every team in the league goes through something. We've had it. Every team we've played against has had it. But the Eagles have done a great job with it, and they continue to play very good football in all three phases of the game. They played at a very high level, so. Got to give credit to everybody, the people who put the staff together, the roster together, the staff, the players, and just the consistency that they've shown. I mean, they've been wire to wire. They've been the top team in the league from opening week to here we are, down to the final competition. So give them a ton of credit. I have a ton of respect for that organization, for Jeff, what they've done, obviously Doug, Jim, who I know well. And Jim's a great coach. He's done a great job with that defense. The players, they play hard. They're tough. A lot of respect for them.
Bill, last week you said that Patrick Chung is one of the best players in the league. Would you also consider him one of the most versatile defensive backs in the league? And when did you start to realize that you could use him in so many different roles?
Yeah, I think he is. He's very versatile. Defensively and in the kicking game, really, he has a lot of skills. I mean, we recognized that when we had him the first time we drafted him, we took the guy in the second round. I mean, it wasn't like, but it just for a combination of reasons. So big part of it, mistakes that I personally made. It didn't work out the way that we hoped it would, but. We got it right the second time, and I think we've been able to utilize him. I wish we'd been able to do that when we initially got him, but it didn't work out that way. But like I said, I think we finally got it right. So,
how much did the addition of, I guess, Daron Harmon allow you to get that right the second time around?
Well, Daron does a great job in his own right. I don't think he needs anybody else, and. In the end, I don't really think Pat Chung needs anybody else. He just needs to be able to have an opportunity to do what he does very well, and he's done that. So, but look, the fact that you have multiple players at that position who are very are high quality players and are smart, instinctive players that communicate well. So that's Devin, Daron, Pat, Jordan. All those guys are really. Doesn't matter who's in there, we're very confident with all of them and what their role is, and they can all do a lot of different things. that gives us some interchangeability and some flexibility. So it's been a huge luxury. You know, we've been able to maintain that group, the consistency of that group, including Nate, even though he's not on the roster right now, the active roster, but his role, that the consistency that we've had from those four, call it five guys, including Nate, you know, the last 3+ years has been, it's been great. It's hard to get in this league. That's the way it was back when I was with the Giants, when you had the same guys, you know, for 6, 7, 8 years in a row. You had a different level of consistency and performance and confidence and trust in each other that, you know, the way the game is now, just it's hard to get that. You get it in a few spots occasionally, but you know, there was a different point in time when that was kind of the norm. And the teams you played against, it was the same, a lot of the same matchups. But we've been very fortunate at that position. Those guys are durable. They're tough. They show up every day. They're ready to go every day. And they perform well. You know, Pat's done a great job for us in a lot of roles, and so is Deron, so is Devin, so is Jordan, to a lesser degree, but his time will come, and so is Nate. So it's been a real luxury.
Bill, how far in advance? Sorry.
Bob Sosio, thank you. Bill, NFL Films captured a scene in Sunday's game after Deion fumbled, where he had gone to the sideline, and one of your defensive assistants appeared to be one of the first people who came over to him to offer encouragement and tell him he'd have a chance to make a play. Immediately after that, your special teams coach essentially did the same thing. How much is that a reflection of or a byproduct of creating a concept here where it's three phases, 63 guys, including the practice squad, one team?
Yeah, it's a great question, Bob. It's an interesting dynamic because when you start in training camp, everybody's on the team, but everybody's not on the team. And you have very competitive situations between especially the offense and defense, guys trying to make the team, guys trying to compete for playing time. And it's really you earn that by competing against your teammates, against each other. So there becomes kind of a competitive rivalry that I wouldn't say is – brings the team together necessarily, because that's the nature of the competition. And then at some point it kind of, once your team gets settled, there's still a competitive aspect to it, but then it separates to coming together at those moments in the game or in other team moments that the team goes through. And I think that just speaks to the maturity of the team, not just the players, but the coaches and the other support people. The entire organization of finding the right time to do the right thing. And there's time to go out on the field, which we'll have those this week. We had them last week where those guys will battle each other and they'll go back and forth, and there'll be some emotional competition on the field. And then there'll be other moments, maybe like the one you described, that where it comes together a little bit differently. And so some of that's timing, some of that's judgment, and certainly a lot of it is character and leadership by the individuals involved. So, but it's a balance, and it changes. It's not always the same. Sometimes the competitive side takes over. Sometimes the compassionate side takes over. Sometimes you're in the middle. And it's a long season, and there's a time and a place for all of them. And there's also a wrong time and a wrong place for all of them, too. So it's an interesting dynamic that changes with every player, with every team, with every situation, but hopefully it can, you know, be more on the positive side at the right time. So it's a great question, though. It really is.
Final question.
Bill, how far in advance does the scouting department start looking at a potential NFC champion or started to look at Philly? I know you mentioned that you're not too familiar with them. So does it start in the regular season? Is it when they clinch the playoffs? Just how does that process kind of work?
Well, first of all, we cover every team. So there isn't a team in the league that isn't covered by the personnel department, the pro personnel department. Because in a fairly short amount of time, in a couple months, will be into free agency, and there'll be players from every team in free agency. So you can't neglect a team, their roster and their composition, which includes scheme and coaching staff and so forth, because there's a lot of ways that the team comes together. Every team's covered in the league. And then as things narrow down, we know who our opponents are for 16 games. When we get into the playoffs, then we can start to narrow that down at some point, week 14, 15, 16, whatever it is. And then our scouting department puts a little different focus on those teams, and probably some of the player people that have those teams during the regular season for eventual free agency, or if a player situation were to come up, say a player was released off another team, like Kenny Britt, for example, when he was released from Cleveland. Even though we don't play Cleveland, we still do Cleveland somewhere in the organization. So that, as it narrows down, then we start to look to the teams that potentially we could face. And again, we're not into the NFC for two games, so our first focus is the AFC, and then at some point in that process, as we've already gotten to Jacksonville after they beat, after they got the AFC Championship game, we got the AFC Championship game, then we started to turn to the two NFC teams. And so that's just kind of progressional.
Bill, when Chris Long went to free agency, he said he was interested in finding a new role in a different defense. I wondered what you've seen with his new role in the Eagles' defense, how it differs maybe from how you used him last year.
Yeah, I think his defensive role is similar to what it was when he was with the Rams. And it, Chris has a lot of good skills. But his overall skill set and experience is probably more in, it definitely is more in the system that he's in than it was in our system, which is closer to the system they played in with the Rams. And he did a great job for us, and he looked, there was no better teammate or guy that tried to embrace the program than Chris. But in the end, he's probably has a better fit there, for his skills and for this point in his career than maybe we had for him. So that's, you know, I understand that. And that's, he probably made a good decision. Probably did, you know. Not that it wouldn't have worked out here. I'm not saying that. Or maybe it couldn't have worked out here. I don't know. But it certainly has worked out well for him there, just like it worked out well for him here last year. And so that's one of the benefits of free agency, is it gives players opportunities and teams to find the right guy for the right situation, to, you know, put guys on your roster where that you need, or if a team has an excess of players at a certain position, then it gives those players an opportunity to go somewhere where there's a better opportunity for them. So, you know, we saw that when I was with the Giants. We had a lot of depth at linebacker. We had guys that didn't play at linebacker because of the players ahead of them, not because they weren't good players, that had there been free agency, they probably would have played somewhere else. And so that's one of the things that, one of the reasons why free agency was talked about and advocated. And I think that's one of the benefits of free agency, that it's worked well for players like that to give them options. And the team and the player makes the right choice, then it works out well.
Thanks,
everyone. Okay. All right.